When I went into ministry, for me, that started by packing up a little 1974 orange Chevrolet Vega and leaving the boring and staid environment of Southern California and moving to the exotic lands of southwestern Missouri. And then from there, after finishing school, coming up here to Spencer, Indiana, the metropolis, Spencer, Indiana. I can only begin to imagine, as culturally different as that was for me, and there was a bit of a culture shift going from place to place to place. I don't know if you all know this, but the rest of the world doesn't love basketball as much as you all do. It was a whole new thing. I remember during when I was getting to know the church, people were asking me questions and kind of an interviewing process, and they said, "We have one important key question for you. IU or Purdue?" I knew that was a trap. So I said UCLA. Got away with it. But can you imagine then what it would be, what it's like? You know, still, I came here, people still spoke English. Most people still looked like me. There are a lot of similarities. But can you imagine leaving your home and going thousands of miles to a place where people don't speak your language, where people don't dress like you, all the norms, the habits, the normal things of life that you're so used to are not there, and people don't experience, and they don't understand why you would think that way. You're the minority. And there might be a contingency of folks, a large contingency of, it's like, why are you here? We're not sure we want you here. So when we think about our missionaries, we need to be thinking about what it is that they're doing and to understand the level that they have chosen to embrace of ministering to other people and to be thankful for that. To guide us through our thoughts on this, we want to go to the book of Philippians, a letter that Paul wrote. We just go to chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. It's just a little bit here, but there's some good stuff. Paul is writing, and he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, this letter is being written, in a sense, from a missionary back to the church, but I think there are some lessons we can take away, kind of reverse engineer this, and we see some things that even we're to be involved in. And the first one is this, that missionaries need to be remembered. Now, some of this stuff we're going to go over is pretty obvious, but sometimes we have to visit the obvious because when things are so obvious to us, we just kind of put them out of our minds. But there are some real basic things that we need to visit from time to time, and that is just simply this, that we need to make sure that though they are out of sight, that our missionaries are not out of mind. Notice he says here, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Remembering is an important part of a relationship with people. So how can you remember our missionaries? Let's look at just some real simple practical ways. First, what I encourage you to do, pick a mission that you can focus on. If you look on the back of the program, and if you're using the outline just below, there's a list of our missionaries that we support, minus one. I just realized this morning was an oversight. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. When you see all those names like that together, I don't know about you, but when I get a lot of information like that, my mind tends to just kind of gloss over. Does yours do the same thing? So when you look at the mission, well, where do I begin? Let me encourage you, begin with one. Maybe two or three, but narrow it down so you can have some focus. It's hard to focus on a big list, but if you pick somebody on whom you can invest, that will help you. Then once you've done that, get on their mailing list. Now that may be physical mail, snail mail as we call it these days, it may be an email, but get on their list so that you're receiving regular updates. And when it comes, don't throw it in the recycling pile. Read through it. See what's going on. See what's happening. See what their needs are. See what they're accomplishing. Great thing about today's technology is you can also follow things on social media and know almost instantaneously things that are going on. And you can see images. And you can see what it is for them and their work. What it's like to be where they're doing. What are they trying to accomplish? What can you be praying about? The beauty of this technology is it allows us also to communicate back with them, to ask questions. We can even do our own research about their mission field and where they're at, the cities that they're in, the countries that they're in, the people that they're trying to reach. We can inform ourselves about what it's like for them, and then we can ask informed decisions of them. And then this is key, to send reminders that you are thinking of them, that you are praying for them, that you are thankful for them. This morning, after our services, we're having our annual Thanksgiving dinner. And a part of what we're doing is if you go over to the stage in the Family Life Center, you'll see just set up along the stage and a little off to the side some different displays about our missionaries. And off to the left side, there's a table with cards. And here's what I want to ask you to do. Take some thank you cards and write a thank you note. Then we'll bundle those up and send them to the respective missionary. Now you can do one for all of them, or several cards, one for each of them, or you can pick two or three and say, I'm going to write a thank you note to them. But tell them thank you. I know what it's like for me, and I'm sure you do too. When you get a note of appreciation, of thanks from somebody that you weren't expecting, doesn't it just kind of make your day, encourage you? Let you know, people were thinking of me. People value what I do. And I can only begin to imagine what it would be like for our missionaries at this time of year. You know, the holiday seasons, time you tend to miss home, to get some notes from folks that they may never have met yet that say thank you for doing what you're doing, being where you're at. It's making a difference in the world, and we believe that. So we need to remember our missionaries, and we also need to remember that our missionaries need our prayers. They need our prayers. Here's an important key understanding for us in this, because I think sometimes we lose sight of this. Our missionaries are doing our work. They're not doing their work. They're doing the work of Jesus Christ. They're doing the work of His church that we are called to do. They're doing it in different locations. We need to remember that. It's kind of the difference. Think of the difference between a contractor you hire to do some work around your house versus having someone in your family do that work for you. And just how you're thinking about that process and how you relate to them. And we sometimes want to think of missionaries as these private contractors off doing something, and we'll send them a check. Instead of seeing that they are our family who have traveled off to other lands to share the good news of Jesus. So they're our partners, and prayer is one part of our partnership, but it's a key and vital part of our partnership. Now, how can you remember to pray for them? What can you do? There's a few things. If you went through the 30-day prayer journal, you noticed every Monday is when we prayed for our missionaries. There's a reason for that. So that you can remember Monday missionaries, Missionary Monday, however you want to say it. M&M, preachers love alliteration. So Missionary Monday. That's a great time to pray for the missionaries. specifically if you've chosen someone to pray for. And this is why having some communication, being aware of what you're doing, so you're not just throwing up some general prayers, Father God, bless them, I guess. Meet their needs. I don't know what they are, but meet them. But if there's a specific endeavor, a project that they've got going on, or a specific need, or there's something happening in their country where they're at, you can be praying about that very specific situation. So pray for them. That's easy for us to talk about praying for them, but one of the things we need to remember is that when we are praying, we need to be thankful. That's what Paul says. I'm thankful for you when I remember you. I'm thankful for you when I'm praying for you. And there's something that happens when we have an attitude of gratitude toward people. When we think about them and we think in terms, aren't we grateful for them? There's a connection that binds us when we are thankful for people. And so if we don't just think of a terms of, well, those missionaries are some people who went off somewhere else, but understand they're doing our work and we're partners with them and I need to be grateful for that, it helps me think a little bit deeper and feel a little bit deeper about who they are and what they're doing. So as you're praying, be thankful for them. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to pray. You can follow along on if you've got a program at the list. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say the name and maybe just a little bit about the work there, about our missionaries, and then just give you a few moments to pray. And we'll just kind of work our way down through the list. And just be praying, giving thanks for them, whatever it might be that's on your heart to say. So let's do that, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we want to be thankful for our missionaries. And when we see ink on paper, it's easy to just kind of let that just be some facts, some information. But we need to see the flesh and blood here of people, real people, doing real work, sometimes in very difficult situations. And so we want to pray for these folks right now. Father, we want to pray for Linda Epperts and her work with Team Expansion. Father, we pray for Jim and Sandy Wilkins and the team with Haiti Health Ministries. Haiti's going through a very, very painful and difficult time right now. Dangerous time for many people, so we pray for them and their safety, and thank you that they have a presence there. Father, we pray for the orphanage work of Niños de Mexico and the young lives that they are saving and leading not only to Jesus, but also leading into health and to have a good shot at life. Father, we pray for Jonathan and Heather Powell in the Ukraine. They were here just earlier with us this year. We thank you for them. Father, we pray for Larry and Linda Whiting and their work with Mission Aviation Fellowship, Larry's work to make sure that there are planes that can take medicine and food and people into areas that are hard to reach. Father, we pray for John and Java Crozier, who were just here with us last week, and their work in Poland. Father, we pray for Iwona Zagrobelna with Athletes in Action in Poland, her work to reach out to the athletes there with the good news of Jesus. Father, we pray for Magda Stana, who's also in Poland with crew. Father, we pray for Jacques and Bev Blackwell and down in Jamaica. And we've had a couple of teams go down there and work alongside them and see their important work. And so we pray a prayer of thanks for them and ask right now, Lord, that you would be with whatever they need this morning. We pray for the Zimbabwe Christian College, training ministers to do ministry there in Zimbabwe. We pray for IU Christian Fellowship and its work right here in IU, helping college people come to Christ and grow in Christ. Father, we pray for Abby Elkins and her work with crew. Father, we have some people who are in some dangerous areas in Asia. It's very sensitive. And so we pray for them, their safety today, and provision for what they need. Father, some local mission work here, organizations that do good work, Wheeler Mission, Hannah House, Hilltop Christian Camp, we pray over them. And all these things, Father, we give thanks for those who serve, those who go, and help us to continue to see the connection that lies between us. And I pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. We need to remember this too, that missionaries participate ultimately in God's work. They do this in two ways. One, through the sharing of the gospel. Last week we talked about how meeting physical and emotional and mental needs communicates God's love and opens doors. But ultimately, the work that needs to be done is that of sharing and telling the good news of Jesus, telling the story of Jesus. And it's hard to hear that story if you're hungry or if you're sick. But if someone has come to you and given you food, given you water, helped you to get well, and did it in the name of Jesus, maybe your heart is open to hearing this news. And so our missionaries go and do what they do so they can share the story of Jesus. Because this is ultimately the need that we all have. You know, we get maybe 80, 90, 100 years on this planet to experience whatever we experience, but we have eternity waiting for us, and we need to get the good news of Jesus out so people will be ready for that eternity. And then when people make a decision, they need to be discipled. They need to be helped to grow in Christ. And so another part of that is discipling believers. It's not enough just to get people across the line of faith. We need to help them to grow in that faith. And you think about what missionaries are doing, that double duty work. Oftentimes they're meeting physical needs and then they're leading people to Jesus and then they're helping those people to grow. You can see it's a big task. Why? One, we must undergird with our prayers, but also to see how we can tangibly do that. This morning, we're blessed to have Abby Elkins here. Abby wasn't sure if she was going to be here. I wasn't sure if she was going to be here, but then I saw her in the foyer this morning and said, Abby's here. So I came up to her and do the thing that people love to have done. Would you like to get up in front of everybody and speak? And she said, yes. And so I've asked Abby just to share a little bit about her work. You can see what it looks like for her on sharing the good news of Jesus and helping people grow and the role that she plays in that. Let's give her a warm welcome.
So yeah, I work with Cruz International Student Ministry, Bridges International in Indianapolis. First got involved when I was a student here in Bloomington at IU, and then continued on some time in the Middle East and ended up in Indianapolis working with international students at IUPUI. So at IUPUI, we have students coming in from all over the world. There's a few thousand international students. Most are from India, it seems. There's a lot from China, from other Middle Eastern countries, from places where it's really hard for Americans to go right now. It's really hard for many of them now. It's impossible for their families to even come visit them. So our goal here is to welcome students first, to be some of the first people they meet when they arrive in Indianapolis, to take them grocery shopping, to meet some of those physical and even emotional needs that they have. And we have events throughout the year, apple picking, pumpkin patches, introducing them to American culture. And last week we even had a Thanksgiving dinner where we partnered with local churches for Americans to come. They made turkeys and everything similar to like what we'll have today. And students got to have their first Thanksgiving dinner. And we always want to partner this with the gospel. So we had a speaker come, share the gospel, share his testimony, and did it in a way that was clear for international students to understand. And then we invited them to consider accepting Jesus as their savior. Some indicated that they think they made that decision or they desire to make that decision. And one of my favorite parts is meeting up individually with all those men, with all those women especially, and saying, what do you think of the gospel? What does this mean for you? Many are Hindu or Muslim, and they think, well, that's interesting. I've never heard it that way before. But I love getting the opportunity to meet with them regularly. And sometimes that turns into them accepting Christ and me getting to meet with them for weekly discipleship of what does it mean to follow Jesus and to share him with others, both here in America and when they go back home or talk at home with their families in places where I'm not able to go or others are not able to go easily. And I just really enjoy that part of my job. And we're seeing how effective it is to reach international students, to send them back to their home countries. And so we are starting to send missionaries overseas with Crew and Bridges to work specifically with international students. Now many international students are going to Europe and Australia rather than coming to America. So my role is more into an HR side of things. I am caring for these staff. As we heard this morning, so many missionaries are just struggling to learn the language. And then they're doing that on top of reaching out to new students, discipling students they already know, and trying to take care of their children. All of the missionaries I care for in Paris, in Sydney, in the Middle East, in Central Asia, they all have kids. And so the mom's primary role is figuring out how do I care for my kids well so that they can go to school or they can talk to kids in the neighborhood about Jesus. So our goal is to really care for them well, that they know there are people here in the States who are thinking about them, who are praying about for them, and to just make sure they have needs met so that they are able to stay overseas and not having to come back home because they're not supported well. So I'm thankful to get to do that, and I'm thankful for your partnership here at ECC.
As we put all this together, what we begin to see is that missionaries are ultimately supported by churches. If they're our family, if they're going out from us, it's up to us to support them financially, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. because it's hard to go to some of the places folks are going, many of those places. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church this about an offering that was going to be taken. He said, "For I testify," and he's talking about a Macedonia church, "that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." Too often, we see missionaries like charities that we just sometimes send a check to. We've dedicated a portion of our budget here to supporting folks. But we need to see that they're also an extension of who we are. And if they are that extension, we need to be prepared. One of the things that we want to do this morning as a part of our Thanksgiving season is to provide a Thanksgiving offering. And we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. One, you can do it online if you'd like to. But we have at the back of the auditorium, and we'll have it here this week and then next week. Well, it looks like a little Christmas package, because by the time they get this offering, it'll be close to Christmas time. And who can't use a little extra money around that season? So we will, you can place physical checks or cash in that box this week or next week. Or you can go online and do it that way, however you prefer to give. But I encourage you to think about, how can you support in this way? What can you do to let our missionaries know that what they do is important, that it matters? And how can we express that? We're going to sing a song here in just a moment that says this. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place. Folks, that's the gospel message, that Jesus would take our place. And that isn't just for us here in Indiana. That isn't just for us here in America. That isn't just for some people. It's for everyone, whether they're in Africa or Asia or Europe or South America, where people are responding to the gospel still, and often in great droves, that Jesus would take our place. This is amazing grace. That's the message we have for this world. This amazing grace. And we've kind of come to take it for granted here. But folks, when people hear this news, that there is a God in heaven who made them and who loves them and wants to have a relationship with them, sometimes it's startling to them. That very concept, that very idea, that God would come near, that God would take our place, it's not old hat to them. And they see it and they hear it as good news. And it's a good news that we need to take to the world. Maybe it's this morning, it's a good news that you're ready to accept. That you are ready for this amazing grace in your life. To call on the name of Jesus, to be immersed into the waters of baptism, buried with Christ, and raised to a new life. Or if you're an immersed believer, you're ready that this is a time and place for you to be a part of ECC. Or you just want to use these steps kind of like a prayer altar and come up and pray and have a conversation with God. Maybe you've picked out a missionary this morning and said, "I'm going to pray." And you just want to come up and say, "I'm going to pray for them this morning again." But whatever might be happening in your heart right now, in your thoughts, we pray that God is moving. And that as you sense that holy nudge in a direction, you'll follow through on that. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace right now with the confidence you say we can. We come boldly, Father, because you said to come boldly. Lord, there are people who have gone out from us. Some of them from here, but others who came here and said, "Would you support me in this work?" And we said, "Yes." And so they're out and they're doing the work of the gospel. But they're doing it, Father, in places where they're the minority, where their normal native language is not the language of the people around them, where they may not look like the people around them. When they're, all their norms, all the things that are normal to them are not normal where they're at, and it can be hard. But Father, we pray that as this work of sharing the gospel, of people going and sharing the gospel, continues, because the harvest is ready, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to raise up workers and raise up support for those workers so the good news of Jesus Christ can continue to be shared throughout the world. And for any this morning who are ready to receive that news for themselves, that gift of life for themselves, I pray that you would give them the courage to take that step of faith and say yes to Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen.